Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And tonight is the 26th of November, year 2014. We've entitled tonight's program, A Visit with Pastor Eli James. Before we get started, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate it to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. For my Welsh kinsmen across the pond, Shumai, which means welcome to the program. Now, if you'll bear with me for just a second, we are trying something a little bit different here tonight. And let me bring our guest on. Pastor Eli, can you hear me?
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm here.
Oh, very, very good.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind. This is the first time in all the years I've been on the radio I'm going to block the blogging during the actual broadcast so folks can pay attention and hear the guest. So for folks that want to do that, that's fine, because we do want social media between our brothers and sisters, but that should be done during the 15 minutes before and the 30 minutes after we get done with our conversation. While the music's playing, they can freely have social intercourse with each other, and that will be fine. But
Pastor Dan, how are people going to attack each other if they can't chat?
Well, I know that. But here's the thing. The last five shows or so, I saved the chats and logged them and copied them into a Word document. And then I took some time and I went down through what everybody was going back and forth with. And to be quite honest with you, a large percentage of it had nothing to do with the topic of the day. And again, that's fine, but it doesn't need to go on during the actual broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I hope people aren't ignoring the I don't think they're ignoring the contents of the show. They're just using the chat room for social media. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And again, for 15 years that we've been on, that was fine. But I wanted to try something a little different. I wanted to kind of force everybody to either just listen to what's being talked about, or the interviewee, such as Tom mm-hmm. Goodrich, who was on with us the other night talking about his book, Hellstorm. And then if they do have a comment or question or would like to chat with our guest, then they need to call in. I mean, most everybody has unlimited long distance nowadays. It's not a question of it being too expensive. And this particular radio station can host up to 300 simultaneous phone calls. So, it's kind of going to force the idea that to use the call-in feature, but also the fact that, as you know, Pastor Eli, since you do this as well as I do, trying to follow all that blogging going on to see where somebody is trying to ask you a question, it's nearly impossible while you're trying to follow your own notes.
All right.
And monitor the screen, look for people calling in and all that, and then try to pick out of all that texting going on where somebody might have an actual question for either the guest
yes.
or myself. So I'm going to try this. If people don't like it, I'm sure I'll hear about it.
Yeah.
but I do want everybody to know that the 15 minutes before the show and the half hour after the show will be unlimited. You can do all the texting back and forth you want while the music's playing, but this here period of time is for study, or in this case, for you to reintroduce yourself to the people on my program, because it's been quite a while since you've been on with me.
Yeah, yeah. And you said 15 years. I think 1999 was the year that you and I did a first interview together. And that was on, I forget the name of the network, but Steve Quayle said, either I go or by Yahweh's design goes.
Oh, yeah.
Made us feel really welcome.
That was back when I was first on Heritage Broadcasting, but then I went on Steve Melching's Reality Radio.
Right, Reality Radio. Yeah.
He bumped me off for his buddy Steve Quayle.
Yeah. And then who's the scientist guy? He came out either before or after.
McCanny?
McCanny, yeah, James McCanny, yeah. So
yeah.
Quayle, your show, and McCanny, that was a pretty good lineup, you know, of shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But
a lot of water under the bridge since then, huh?
Yeah, well, oh, yeah. Niagara Falls. Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to believe it's been 15 years. But I'll tell you what, Eli, you haven't been on with me for quite some time. So take a few minutes to just kind of introduce yourself and give your background to the listeners, especially the hundreds of people that will be listening to this later on.
Right.
Reintroduce yourself and also put a plug in for your radio show
right. And
your websites.
Well, I'm a German-American. Not an African-American, a German-American of the Anglo-Saxon race who immigrated from Germany with my parents right after World War II because there was no work and there was no food. And they settled in Chicago. And it's pretty obvious I never would have been able to study Christian identity in Germany. So the father definitely, you know, moved me here so I could do it here. There's no way I could have done it in Germany, okay? So it was quite a matter. I lost faith in the Catholic Church at about 17 years of age because that was when Vatican II happened, and all of the previously eternal truths of the Catholic faith were changed overnight into a new set of eternal truths, you know, such, you couldn't eat meat on Friday, and you know, now today they're lax on homosexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera. But I never really lost faith in Jesus Christ. I loved the message, and I never backed away from Jesus Christ. It just took me a while. From that point on until 1963 to 1978 or so before I really started getting involved in reading. It was actually British Israel through the pyramidologists such as David Davidson and several others who had studied the Great Pyramid and realized that it was actually mentioned in the Bible, you know, where Jesus says the cornerstone that the builders hath rejected. Okay. Of course, he being himself, and well, that's a reference to the Great Pyramid. The capstone is missing from the Great Pyramid. And a lot of British Israel pyramidologists made a number of correlations to the Great Pyramid and Bible verses. And of course, teaching that the Anglo-Saxon people are the Israel of the Bible. Okay. The more I got into that, the more I was fascinated by the subject. And then the Christian Patriots Defense League in Central Illinois, down in near Effingham, I got wind of a flyer that they're going to have a conference, and so I had to go down there because they were teaching Christian identity, and you know, which is of course based on British Israel to a large extent, with a few major differences. And then once I went down to that conference, I was absolutely hooked, and I haven't looked back, right? And I've been Christian identity ever since.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Once you get this message, everything comes into focus, doesn't it?
Right. And the Bible just opens up. You realize that it's a history book about the Adamic race and the Adamic race's enemy, the Canaanite-Edomite bloodline, okay? And there were several 2C liners at that very first conference I attended. Sheldon Emery was not one of them. He was a major speaker there. So was Jack Moore. And I don't know if people remember H.C. Peebles, great speaker. He was the one who really, you know, hammered the fact that the Jews are the enemies of the white race and behind all the evils in the world today, the communists, et cetera, et cetera. and several other people, and they were playing tapes of I'm trying to think, the South African now, W.G. Findlay. And there were, you know, conferences and workshops with paramilitary people. It was just incredible, absolutely incredible. You had Christian identity being taught and paramilitary tactics at the same time, right? I mean,
right.
I felt so at home. I felt I was in heaven, right?
Yep.
But it was not to last, because the government, both the states of Illinois and Missouri, because we also had conferences in the state of Missouri, passed laws forbidding Bible conferences with simultaneous paramilitary training. Okay.
Right.
And they put Pastor Harrell, John Harrell, who was the founder of the Christian Patriots, they put him under house arrest for many years, had two FBI agents stalking him constantly. They even rented an apartment across the street from his house to make sure that he would never start up the CPDL again, which gives you an idea how much the government is afraid of Christian identity.
Yeah, absolutely. They got no problem with millions upon millions of illegals coming across with everything from diseases to drugs to weaponry. That doesn't bother them at all, but a handful of white guys preaching the Bible and carrying
around, yeah, right,
has them petrified.
Yeah, can't have that. Can't have that. Yeah, so, and then, of course, I was working on the great impersonation ever since the CPDL was shut down. I said, what do I do now? Well, I realized that I had assembled a number of pamphlets, actually hundreds of pamphlets and booklets, and a couple of book-length books, one by the pastor in I'm looking on my shelf right here to see if I can find it. Ted Weiland, who wrote a pretty good book, God's Covenant People, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. But he since has gotten soft on the Jews and doesn't preach two seed line either. In fact, he is pretty militant against two seed line. But his was really the only full length book on the subject published in America at the time, right? So I just said, well, something better than this has to be. So I started compiling The Great Impersonation, and it took me 23 years of compilation and writing before I finally published in 2003. And, of course, you wrote the preface for that, okay? So,
mm-hmm.
So that was quite a long period of work, total dedication to the Christian identity message and the white race. So, after publication, and I started doing interviews with you, et cetera, et cetera. And I've always had this dream of having my own radio station to get away from all the censorship that we experience trying to get this message out, right? So that's beginning to run smoothly. You know, we're using all kinds of free software at Eurofolk Radio, and so it's literally costing us only $10 a month to run the radio station. However, it's a logistical hassle. It takes a lot of work to put that radio station and get it up and running smoothly, okay? So so that's an ongoing challenge. But at least we don't have to charge, and we don't have to pay a lot for it, and we don't have to beg for donations, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't have to take money from advertisers to get the message out, okay? And some of the listeners here probably have already heard you on Eurofolk Radio on Sunday, a couple of Sunday mornings that we've done so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, give out your various websites.
Okay. Well, it's www.eurofolkradio.com, and it streams 24 hours with pre-programming, and we break in with live broadcasting at regular times. I couldn't do the for this show tonight because I have to be logged in with Skype for a simulcast, okay? And I was thinking of dialing in through Skype, but I wasn't sure if the phone connection would be up to snuff. But and then also there's killthebank.net, which talks about the Jews and usury and how the Jews have been the masterminds of all economic fraud, theft, and deceit throughout history. That's what that website's about. And, of course, anglo-saxonisrael.com, which details the story of Christian identity and how the Bible is to, by, for, and about the white race and not about any other people.
Yeah, you have a tremendous amount of information, research information, just a good one-stop shop type
right. Website.
For folks just coming into the message, right?
Yes. And Eurofolk Radio is doing something similar, although it's more broader based. It's trying to alert white people to the fact that the white race is under attack by the Jews and by communists and by blacks and by left-wing socialists, et cetera, et cetera. And we're trying to get people to wake up to that fact. And as you are fully aware, there is a gradual, slow awakening by white people to the fact that we are under attack. But most white people don't realize, especially Judeo-Christians, don't realize that the Judeo-churches are part of the systematic attack against the white race because they promote multiculturalism. Okay?
Absolutely. Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have all these white Judeo-Christians who have actually become our worst enemies, in many cases worse enemies than the Jews themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, for the folks that still like to read books, hard copy books, the old fashioned way,
yeah.
Tell them about the Great Impersonation.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's 23 years worth of research proving that we Caucasians are the Israel of the Bible and the Jews are the worst enemies of the Bible and of our race and of Yahweh God, etc. They're the synagogue of Satan. And, exploring history, prophecy, showing that we Caucasians, through fulfillment of prophecies and because we fit the marks of Israel and the Jews don't, that we are God's chosen people, Israel, and the Jews are the ones who've been impersonating us for the last 2,000 years. And so it demonstrates how the Jews have concocted this impersonation, how they go on impersonating us to deceive the entire world, Revelation 12:9. Okay? So you can get a copy of it from the Anglo-Saxon Israel site. There's a bookstore tab. Click on the bookstore tab, and you can get it for $10 at the to put it on your, read it on your computer or on your tablet, etc.
Oh, you mean the electronic version for like
Kindle. Right. And that's at Amazon. Yeah, Kindle. Amazon Kindle. And then, of course, the book print copy is available from American National Publishing, Post Office Box 411373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Postage paid $37 in America. But you can purchase it from the website as well. And it costs more to... The cost of shipping a book to, let's say, London is $17.50, if you would believe it. Okay.
Wow.
So the postage is simply incredible. It's more than half the cost of the book, right? Or just about half the cost of the book. So you have to add another $17.50, which makes it something like $54 before it can get to an overseas destination. So the Kindle, of course, is only $10. So if you could, but I, like you, I like to sit down and actually read a book every once in a while, a physical book. I get tired of looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, but, I don't, yeah. There's just something about now with the flat screens since they come out and the different fonts that make it easier on the eyes that Kindle uses, it's a whole lot better than it was. But to me, you still can't beat a good old-fashioned book.
Right.
That you thumb through it, you can take notes on it.
Right.
I know you can do it to like PDF files and stuff too, but again, there's just something about a book where I can go to the front, to the back, I can scribble my little notes in there. I get more out of it reading it in an actual book form.
Likewise. You can underline passages so you don't forget them, And that's what I do. I always prefer. In fact, a lot of internet publications, if I can't get the book, I will actually print it out. Okay, And so I have a print copy, and really, because you can't learn as well from a computer screen as you can from an actual book. That in my view, anyway.
Yeah, so, maybe it's just because I'm old fashioned and that's the way I was raised.
Right.
But I grew up in the age of computers, so I'm very versed in them. But I still can't get as much out of it if I don't have an actual book, I'll tell you.
Right.
So tell the folks a little bit about, I mean, you're into a lot of stuff here lately. It seems like you're everywhere. So kind of run through how that all came about and some of the things that are happening in these different venues that you're able to speak to our people.
Well, yeah, gradually as the internet and technology has improved, and I was always looking for a venue in which I could have my own radio station without censorship. And you probably remember, I think it was 2009, the ADL put pressure on my web hosting service to take my website down. And they only gave me 48 hours notice to try to save all those articles, which I really couldn't do. That wasn't enough time. And so it took me 6 months to rebuild the website after the ADL took it down. And so from that point on, I was on Blog Talk. I had my own show on Blog Talk, which was also taken down by the Jews, right? And with those experiences RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, they shut my show down after a year because I was relentlessly, preaching against the Jews and for the white race. I was really surprised they actually allowed me a show on RBN. I guess their ratings were down and they needed some excitement, right? So,
it could be.
Yeah. So after a year, they called me up and said, "We're going in a different direction. We're canceling your show." Okay. So with all these experiences, I realized I've got to have my own radio station where nobody can censor me. Okay. And fortunately, TalkShoe is a really great venue. I've never been censored by TalkShoe, and I don't think you have either.
Actually, no. I've been quite surprised. I have not noticed any form of censorship whatsoever.
Yeah, right. Now, the only kind of, it's not really censorship, there's a lot of trolling going on from the enemies of our movement, okay, of our religion and our message, who are trying to drive people away by acting crazy, right?
Well, that, you bring up a good point. That's why tonight, for the first time, I've got the block on all forms of texting in the blog window while we're talking, and I'll open that back up at the end of the program for folks that want to stay in touch and say hello to each other. But while we're chatting, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it without all that clutter on the screen. It's a whole lot easier for you and me as broadcasters, and personally, I've had a lot of comments from regular listeners that are trying to pay attention that it's very distracting when all that chit-chat goes back and forth. And again, it's not that it's not important. It's just that that stuff should be done at the beginning or in the half hour at the end of the program when the music's playing. That's when it's open forum and fellowship time. Right now it's time to do what we're doing here, which is conduct the interview and for everybody to pay attention. So I don't know.
Or if we open up the chat box for questions, right, that we can read if we're – Yeah, but if you're reading, like you said, or if you're reading from a script, it's hard to go from the script to and see what's going on, in the chat room, and all kinds of mayhem could be happening, and you're not being aware of it, right? So I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, at some point here, Eli, I've written down some of the major topics that's going on in the country right now, and I wanted to get your input on these things whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, because I'm sure Ferguson, Missouri is on people's minds foremost. And Pastor Dan, let me just tell everybody that's listening, you and I have been predicting that there's a race war coming to America for many, many years. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and here it is.
Well, that's at the top of my list, is Ferguson.
Yeah.
So I wanted your intake your input, and also you have different sources of information than I do. So share with me and the listeners what your take of what's going on there and where you see it going.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got any specific intel from Ferguson because I've been preparing for my trip for South Africa. I'm going to be speaking to the Boer Nation on their in their annual celebration of the Blood River. And I'm basically going to tell them that even in South Africa, the Judeo churches have utterly stabbed the white race in the back and the Boer people in the back by preaching multiculturalism. And so I'm not going to mince words about that. That's why I'm going there. And because we have a lot of listeners in South Africa. Okay. So, yeah. And so they're very appreciative of what we're doing. And so, but it'd be nice, a lot of them would like to have an in-person meeting with a bona fide Christian identity pastor, okay? And they've got a few down there, but, you know, but they're not, you know, they're more racially aware, not quite as biblically aware as we are in terms of broadcasters, okay?
Right.
And so,
I was going to say, one of the guests had written to me asking if we have ever talked about having a gathering somewhere in the country where you, me, Dan from Georgia, et cetera, where we could kind of go and hold a retreat or just a simple gathering where, for folks that would like to fellowship face-to-face.
How about Detroit?
Detroit?
Yeah. Yeah. In the wintertime.
No, right? No, thank you.
Yeah. I'm very much open to that. Very much open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can discuss that more later at, off the air then.
Yeah. And there'd be a lot of other people, you know, potential speakers, interested, some Klansmen I know. You know, we're very Christian oriented. Not all Klansmen are. Some of them are just drunkards, right? Who get together, drink beer, and talk about the Jews and niggers, right? But you know, it's hard to find in the white nationalist movement. It's hard to find people who are really serious about the Bible. Okay, but there are more and more today than there were 14 years ago.
Amen to that.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the book of Romans, he says that our flock's going to be a little flock, and you can see that, can't you?
Yes, yes. And we have a lot more members if there weren't for the fear, and fear of, basically fear of losing what you've got and losing your reputation among your Judeo-Christian friends, right? Which is, but the same thing is for being a Klansman. The Klansman maintained a secrecy about their membership so that their friends and relatives wouldn't ostracize them and wouldn't destroy their businesses if they had businesses, right? So,
right.
And what's that song by I'm the Resistor?
Oh, Carl Klein, yeah.
By Carl Klein, that kind of, you know, says it as well as it can be said, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that, it's, you know, we have to operate behind the scenes to a certain extent because the opposition is so great. But,
But now back to Ferguson. Now, don't you see the similarity between what's happening there compared to some time ago with the Trayvon Martin case?
Oh, absolutely. It's a carbon copy where the media portrays, you know, of course, nobody should get shot, you know, by the police, white or black or Mexican or anything like that. Nobody wants to die a violent death like that. However, they're bringing it on themselves with their rioting. They've always, you know, the blacks, more than any other group, have always resorted to rioting and burning down their own side of town, right? Whenever something that they dislike happens to go on, right? It's what it really is, it's liberalism run amok. And catering to a whole new victim class. So the Jews have taught blacks how to be victims, okay? and to be very vocal about being victims of white racism, et cetera, et cetera. Despite the fact that for over 50 years now, the welfare state has given them all kinds of perks and benefits, free food, free housing, free medicine, free education. Despite all of these additional aids, they have not become contributing members of society. They, in fact, it's worse today than it ever was. Thanks to the welfare state, the black community has no more family life. It has no more incentive to work. Aid to dependent children has driven any, if there were any responsible black fathers, aid to dependent children has driven them out of the home, and you have nothing but welfare queens popping out babies who turn out to be communist revolutionaries. That's what the welfare state has done to America, and I think that's painting it rosy, right? It's actually worse than that. There's so much hatred for white people in the black community today. It's really unbelievable. In fact, one of the there was a white female pastor in the Ferguson area, not in Ferguson itself, but tried to attend some of the rallies there, and the blacks told her, "This is not for white persons. Go away." Okay. So in other words, they want to have a black community. They want black cops. They want black politicians. They want black this and black that. Well, how are they not racists? How are they not black separatists who don't want white people around? They don't want our education. They don't want our responsibility. They don't want anything white. Well, if that's the case,
that would be okay with me, except that they want our money.
That's right. Exactly. They don't want to have the responsibility for working like we do.
That's one reason they don't mind burning down their side of town, because we're dumb enough to come in there and rebuild it for them.
Right. The government, the white taxpayers' money pays for it all. Right. They know that. And certainly Al Sharptongue and Jesse Lovechild Jackson know that, too. They're playing this race card to the absolute hilt. And so is the Jew-controlled media, right, who constantly make excuses for these terrorists. That's what they are. Anybody who burns down innocent people's property for a political purpose is a terrorist. Random acts of violence, that's terrorism. It's not civil disobedience. It's terrorism. So, and of course, we know that the perfidious Jew is the cause of all of this. They've trained blacks how to be victims and profit from victimhood, just as the Jews have been doing for 2,000 years. So, and they're using the blacks against us, and the government against us, and liberalism against us, and the Judeo churches against us. So, all those groups are totally anti-white and anti-Christian. All of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Eli. Are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestones?
Yes.
How do you think all this is? That's happening here right now, Ferguson and all the rest. Do you see that fitting in with the latest development with those Guidestones?
With
the addition of that 2014 block?
Right. The 2014 block, and something was chiseled out. Something was removed as well. I forget. But I think what it really means is that the Rothschild New World Order is getting tired of waiting for the race war, so they're going to agitate it themselves.
Do you think they're a little bit paranoid about the awakening that's going on also?
I'd say to some extent, and they want to nip that in the bud, right? They want to nip that in the bud as much as they possibly can. The fly in their ointment has been the Second Amendment, and the fact that most gun owners are white people. I think 100 million of us, right? Which is not logistically a nightmare to overthrow, that many people, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's easy to take the cities where all the liberals live who aren't armed, but the countryside where all the conservatives live who are armed, that's another matter, right?
Oh, so absolutely.
They've been trying to overthrow the Second Amendment without any success, okay? So, my opinion is they want to inject us with these toxic vaccines, dumb us down further and further. But I think they're getting impatient. They're getting tired of the dumbing down to become, the typical conservative, the Tea Party people, the Occupy Wall Street movement, et cetera. Those types of groups seem to come out of the woodwork every so often, and they can't do anything about it, right? So they can't stupidify the entire population, no matter how hard they've tried. They can't stupidify all of us, and there's always, it seems like there's always enough of us to break out into a new protest movement, okay, which they co-opt, and then another new protest movement breaks out, right? So it's
right.
You know, so in other words, their best laid plans are not working out. So I think they're getting impatient, and they've decided to foment the race war, you know, and get it over with, get it started.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I
have a really good quote, which I think is germane here. And, you know, we can probably go on to the next topic, but this is from former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov, who's describing what's happened in our country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slowly and is divided into four basic stages. The first one is demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which is required to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy. Of course, he's talking about the enemies of communism, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxist-Leninist ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism. Now, this is the former KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov. He says, the result you can see. Most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, etc. You are stuck with them. You cannot get rid of them. They are contaminated. They are programmed to think and to react to certain stimuli on a certain pattern. You cannot change their minds. Even if you expose them to authentic information, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you still cannot change the basic perception and the logic of behavior. In other words, these people, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. To rid society of these people, you need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded and common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interest of the United States society. I agree. The vast majority of our educators and government people are so brainwashed, dumbed down, and anti-American and pro-Soviet, even if they don't use the term communist and Soviet anymore, that there's no peaceful solution. There's going to be a race war. There's going to be anarchy, and we better be ready to face it.
Speaking of what you just talked about there, I was going to go in a different direction, but we'll talk about this for a few minutes. All the information that we're getting about Vladimir Putin and Russia, what's your take on that? Do you think he's
right.
actually for real, or do you think that's more KGB propaganda to soften us up and weaken
yeah.
us?
Well, I pretty much take an open mind position on that because Putin has done a lot of good things. He has allowed Christianity to be regenerated in Russia, and he's anti-feminist and he's anti-gay, et cetera, et cetera. What I think is really going on is he's trying to be a patriotic Russian. He's also condemned multiculturalism. I think his position on Ukraine is right on the money. You know, he says that outside agitators have done this to Ukrainians. He obviously doesn't mean Russians, right?
Right.
He has to be very careful not to use the word Jew when he, you know, makes any complaint about what's going on in Ukraine and in the world in general. He was not able to get rid of all of the what were the oligarchs. You know, the Jewish billionaires and millionaires who brought Russian society down after, you know, the collapse of the wall. And so he's still got a lot of Jewish enemies, and the country of Russia still has to deal with the world economy, all right? But out of all the leaders in the world today, only Putin is standing up to him. in any way. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
so
I've looked at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has to be careful not to rock the boat too much because, you know, he knows the Jews will destroy the world in a heartbeat and attack Russia in a heartbeat. So he has to play his cards very, very slyly, you know, basically fight fire with fire. That's what I think he's doing. The other theory is that he's been cooperating with them all along and just playing us patriots for suckers. I don't think that's the case. I think he's more pro-Russian than people give him credit for. You know, Jews wouldn't hate him as much as they do, you know, if he were one of their puppets.
Yeah, understood.
Okay.
We'll switch gears here a little bit. Were you listening the night that Tom Goodrich was on talking about his book Hellstorm?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to get your input on Tom's research and exposing the crimes committed against the German civilians and soldiers at the end of World War II and the years following World War II. It's absolutely atrocious. I've heard from several people that have read his book. I've got the book. I'm reading it as well as his other books. And I've read other people's articles and pamphlets talking about the same thing, particularly what happened at Dresden.
Yes.
You know, it breaks your heart to know that our kin had to suffer the way they did, but to see atrocities committed at that level, and it was able to be covered up until this time to where hardly anybody even knows about it. Crimes far in excess of even those supposedly that Hitler did, even though we know that's all a lie. But even if it were true, these crimes far surpass anything that the Germans under Hitler are even accused of doing. These crimes are far worse. And yet, there's almost nothing out there in the mainstream about it whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's
you think there's a Jewish conspiracy, maybe?
Well, I don't think there is. I know there is.
Right.
But you know, I just give Tom all the credit, you know, yourself and many others, but Tom for writing these books and being willing to go on all these different radio stations and raise the level of awareness of people that, you know, the Jews want everybody to think they're the only victims in this world, and yet the Jewish Bolsheviks in Russia and what they did to the Russians to take over control of the Tsar and Tsarina's empire and then turn around and that same butchery and atrocity was brought upon the German people. You know, these scoundrels need to be exposed. And I don't know about you, Eli, but I'm praying I live long enough to sit on a tribunal and have these cretins brought in front of us for judgment and sentencing.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Well, I haven't read, I think the only episode of the book Hellstorm I read had to do with the fact that the Tsar did not abdicate, that was just more propaganda. And you know, in order to make the Jews look good, he abdicated already. We didn't just take him off the throne and, you know, murder him. But that's what they did. They just took him off the throne and murdered him. So, but there's other books like Other Losses and A Trial on Trial and a lot of stuff written about Operation Keel Haul. That, you know, those books have been out for quite a while. Again, they don't get any publicity, right? But A Trial on Trial is about how the Nuremberg trials were a total fabrication. That, you know, and those of us who understand what happened know that it was communist Jews and American Jews and British Jews who staged the Nuremberg trials, okay? Fabricated the Holocaust, right? Et cetera, et cetera. And an Operation Keel Haul is one of the worst episodes of the war, under Eisenhower. And I forget the name of the operation after the war when 1 to 2 million German soldiers were starved to death in open air camps exposed to the elements by Eisenhower. Okay. I'm sure other losses go, his book Hellstorm goes into that. But Operation Keelhaul was the forcible repatriation of white Russians back to communist Russia after the war. And in other words, the Allies were sending these men and their families to concentration camps or firing squads. A lot of these people, rather than go back to Russia, committed suicide. They bashed their babies' heads against the walls rather than take them back to communist Russia. This is a very unknown story about the end of World War II and, of course, our government with the Jew Eisenhower, full-blooded Jew Eisenhower, the full-blooded Jew Churchill, and a partial Jew, I'd say three-quarters Jew Stalin, you know, running the war effort to destroy, murder, assassinate, and genocide as many white people as possible. That's all that World War II was about. It had nothing to do with saving the world for democracy. You know, same story for World War I. So when the truth gets out about what really happened during these world wars and how it was a war against the white race by the Jews, then I hope at least at that point outrage among our people will begin to happen.
Amen to that.
Yeah, but they got to know the story first. You know, like this quote I read about liberals being totally brainwashed. Well, that includes most of our people.
Exactly. So yeah. Where do you think we are on the timeline as far as the end of the age?
Very close. I get asked that question quite a lot. There's only a few more things. The Battle of Gog and Magog, you know, which is talked about in the book of Ezekiel and in Revelation chapter 20, where this world, but I think actually the Battle of Gog and Magog actually began with World War I, continued with World War II, continued with Korea, continued with Vietnam, and has gone on ever since. Okay, the Battle of Gog, you know, Battle of Gog and Magog. So, but there's a phase predicted in the book of Obadiah where 10 nations assembled by the Antichrist, or in this case, the Edomite Jews, that the alliances they have assembled will turn against them. Okay, and so we're yet to see that happen. Interestingly enough, we have the what's called the BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, Brazil, Russia,
China,
right?
India,
yeah. These nations they have all the appearance of breaking away and rejecting Jewish influence. Not totally, of course, but there is, it could be that could be the formulation of the rebellious 10 nations, okay, that just get sick and tired of, you know, the constant genocide that the Jews require, because these leaders are being asked to genocide their own people. Okay.
Yeah.
As the Ukrainians are, you know, and even Chinese don't have a stomach for that kind of, you know, Chinese communists, yes, right? But certainly not Russians. Russians don't have the stomach for destroying their own people. Only the Jews have that kind of stomach, right? So and of course we know that Chinese communism was created by Jewish Soviets and imposed upon the Chinese, you know, our government, thanks to the Jew Eisenhower and the Jew Harry Truman, sabotaged Chiang Kai-shek and supported the communist regime of Mao Zedong, right? So
right.
People who know all that history know the mass slaughter that has gone on instigated by Jews all over the world, okay? And it's so obvious to us who know true history, but the average white person, average liberal, even the average conservative has no knowledge of these things whatsoever. So it's good that these books are coming out. We have to publicize these books as much as possible so people know the truth about war in general. Okay.
Yeah, and if they just read their Bibles, they could have found all this stuff out a long time ago, where
right.
Christ himself said, you, speaking to the Jews, are responsible for all the innocent blood shed from Abel to Zechariah.
Yes,
so,
and on.
Yeah, and on,
yes.
Of course. But
mm-hmm.
here again, it's these traitors behind the pulpits to
right.
to our faith, preaching the doctrines of devils instead of the truth that has led to all this confusion.
That's right. It's total confusion. Yeah. This is so good. C.S. Lewis has a quote about liberals, too. It's so good, I just have to read it. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. C.S. Lewis, obviously
yeah.
speaking about liberals. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Eli, you know, a lot of times I get asked this, so I'm going to ask you, and then you could help out. A lot of people say, well, you know, we talk about the problems, and we do. We spend a lot of time talking about what's wrong.
Yeah.
What do you tell people when they say, well, what do we do about this? What is a positive thing that our people could be doing right now?
Well, you mentioned it, reading the Bible, understanding the Bible, and sticking to our guns, you know, because it does look hopeless to a lot of people. But the Bible even tells us, you know, who can make war against the beast? We're not in a position where we can openly challenge the beast system. They have too much power. But what we can do is, as Yahshua said, tarry till I come. That is, do the best to keep your family together, obey his laws, and be ready. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, he says, I come as a thief in the night, so you better be ready. When Greg Howard and I were doing this series on RBN, we did a study on the book of Ezra. And Ezra asked the same question of the angel, you know, what about my people? My people are being destroyed. And the angel said, don't worry about anybody else. Just worry about yourself. You have to do what you have to do, and the rest will fall into place. Okay. So even though we're small in numbers, Yahweh looks at the quality of the individual first. He does want to retrieve as many Israelites and bring them back into the fold, you know, the prodigal son, as many as who are willing, but they have to be willing. It can't be, he does not force the truth on anybody. Jesus didn't force the truth on anybody. He didn't make war against anybody and tell them, you must believe this or must believe that, or you get thrown out of the congregation like the Calvinists and other denominations do. And here, you know, here is where Christian identity stands apart, because we do not demand that you believe in any dogma. We just tell people, here's what the Bible says. Here are the actual meanings of the words in the original Hebrew and Greek. Here is the racial segregation taught by the Bible, and we defy anybody to tell us otherwise. Okay? And
right.
Yeah, and no one has dared to contradict our interpretation, not face to face, except in my case, a couple of secularists have challenged Christian identity, but no rabbi, no Judeo-Christian minister has ever dared openly challenge Christian identity, you know, with a debate, you know, whether in print or, you know, by audio.
Hasn't
right. happened yet. Yeah. They won't
yeah,
challenge
people,
us.
Yeah. I've been on the radio for 15 years. I've been speaking in public a lot longer than that. And in all those years, I've never had anybody come onto the station that could challenge what we were talking about.
Right.
I had one program when I was in Michigan where a homosexual called in and just said it didn't sound nice what we were saying, and I invited him to tune into a different station.
Right.
I never heard from him again.
Right.
And we've had an open invitation to
yes.
any of these groups. If they could challenge the things that we're talking about, they would get a free 1 hour on the air to debate us in a public forum. And
right.
nobody has ever picked up
yeah.
the challenge in 15 years.
Well, I remember very vividly, it was in the early days of, you know, I forget whether I was being interviewed by you once a week or twice a week, but we had started talking about Welsh and Hebrew, okay? And
right.
And so that was actually one of the more listened to programs and series of programs we had ever done. But after one of our shows, some guy from the State University of New York wrote me an email, you know, calling me all kinds of names and said, "You guys are teaching lies and you can't prove anything that you're saying." So I challenged him to come on the show, right?
Right.
And I gave him a little bit of the evidence of the connection between Hebrew and English. And, you know, so I emailed and said, "Okay, well, here's just a taste of the information I'm going to be presenting. If you feel you can challenge it, you know, please come on and challenge it. You know, we're not going to tear your head off. You know, we'll just have a discussion of the facts," right? Well, he
right.
sent me an even nastier email back, and he says, "No, I'm not going to debate you." And I said, "Oh, I expected that," right?
Right.
So, yeah, because it's obvious when you study the subject matter, the Hebrew and English are very intimately related, and as you know, Welsh is the most like Hebrew extant language of all languages, like Hebrew, than any other language. Certainly, Yiddish does not qualify as Hebrew.
No, not even
okay.
close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but,
yeah.
All anybody has to do is read The Missing Links in the Assyrian Tablets by archaeologist E. Raymond Capt, K-A-P-T. E. Raymond Capt.
Well,
very.
Yeah.
You know, he nailed it, and other scholars have done it too. But just read the books by E. Raymond Capp, especially the one, The Missing Links in the Assyrian Tablets, because
right.
he draws the parallels very succinctly in that book. And there is no doubt that the ancient Hebrew tongue is carried this day in the Welsh language. So,
right.
You know, these people that want to challenge it, you know, I had a woman like your person that contacted you, this woman contacted me and basically said the same thing, that, you know, you're out to lunch. They couldn't possibly, the ancient Hebrews couldn't have possibly spoken anything like modern day Welsh.
Right.
And I informed her, I said, "Well, of course, modern day Welsh has terms in it that 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago didn't exist.
Sure.
But some things like tree and mother and father and love and water and food and beef and things like those kind of words are almost identical."
Right.
So, you know, they're just these people that challenge this thing, the few that dare to do it are quickly put away.
Right.
Which, again, after 15 years leaves us unscathed.
Yeah.
But here again, how many people really want the truth, though? That's the sad thing. I mean,
right.
We're here to tell them about it. But how many people are interested in knowing the facts?
Right. Well, anybody who's in academia, that if they listen to us, and God forbid they should support us, they'd be out of a job, right?
Right.
They'd be kicked out of the university overnight if they even approach the subject of Hebrew and Welsh in a positive way, you know. And, of course,
right.
Hebrew and German are very closely related, and so are Hebrew and English. And I think it was, Tyndale, who was the first one to translate Hebrew directly from the Bible into English, and he said the syntax of English and Hebrew are identical. All he has to do is plug in English words for the Hebrew words, and the sentences make perfect sense. So how is that possible? You're not going to that's not going to happen with Swahili. It's not going to happen with Yiddish. Okay.
No. Yep. Exactly.
It proves
okay,
that
we've got about a minute
languages.
To go.
Mm-hmm.
We got about a minute to go here. If
okay.
you want a closing comment.
Yeah. Well, praise Yahweh, Pastor Dan, for the fact that he has given us this venue to teach the truth. And we know that in these end times, as people get more and more alarmed by the failure of government and justice, politics and religion, it's becoming obvious to everybody that all these major institutions, which they have relied on their whole lives, are failing them. So if there is going to be a mass conversion to Christian identity / white nationalism or white separatism, the time is getting ready to happen now, because I can assure everybody that white people are becoming very much alarmed at the violence being perpetrated by the enemies of our race. They don't perceive it quite yet as a racial situation, but they feel fear and danger. And they can see that the danger, it's not coming from Klansmen. it's not coming from white nationalists. It's coming from blacks, Marxists, and the big nut, the most difficult nut to crack is the Judeo-Christian, because they're the ones who kill us softly with words of, relax, take it easy, everything's all right. Just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved, right? That soft kill message is the hardest one to overcome. I have a feeling a lot of those people who are in Judeo-Christianity who believe that soft kill message are not going to see, they're not going to see the kingdom.
Right. They're being they're being set up for the slaughter by their so-called shepherds.
That's right.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Eli, I want to thank you for being on with us. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yes.
And I pray Yahweh will bless you and watch over you, as you're probably one of the, in fact, I think you are the leading teacher and prophet and disciple of our message in the whole world. So, Yahweh bless you. And,
Yahweh bless you too. Thank you for saying that. Yes. And you're a trooper. You're a trooper too. It's doing this, we can't escape criticism from all sides, even from friends and relatives. We do what we can. As the Bible says, the truth, those who speak the truth will be hated. And then a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. Right?
Yeah, amen to that.
So you and I know how that feels.
Oh yeah.
All right. All right.
All right, Eli.
Okay, thanks, brother. Okay.
All right, Yahweh bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, that was Pastor Eli James, and this was the very first of our broadcasts where we're going to block the chat room during the actual broadcast. I hope nobody was offended, but it makes it a lot easier for those of us trying to host the program, and I believe it's better for those that truly want to hear what the person has to say as well. The blogging window, or text window, if you want to call it that, will be open for 15 minutes before the hour and for approximately a half hour after the show for our brethren who want to chit-chat and things like that. So again, constructive criticism is always welcome. However, if it's just going to be venting steam for no good reason, then nobody needs to bother contacting me over that. Let's close with prayer. We want to thank Father Yahweh for this opportunity to be together and to share as family. We want to thank Pastor Eli for being with us, and pray that the Father will watch over him in his ministry as he goes not only across the United States to many speaking engagements, but he even goes overseas as he carries forth the truth of our Father's word. So be with him and guide him, Father Yahweh, and protect him from our enemies. Be with all of those who are with us tonight, that your message might go to them, and that they in turn would take this truth to our brothers and sisters around the world. We are a family. It doesn't matter what country we come from, what language we speak. The blood that flows through our veins makes us the children of Jacob, and as such, we are a family, and we need to start acting like family. So, Father, guide us. Keep us strong. Give us a spirit of strength and not one of fear. Give us good discernment and protect us from our enemies. And we ask and pray all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.